If you'll give what he said to give and put it where he said to put it, you'll have a smaller amount, but he's going to make that seem like it was more. He'll make it more productive.
God has a plan to get his blessings to you. Kenneth Copeland and special guest David Barton bring a message on increase. Discover the ways God has to get the blessing to come on you and overtake you. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. It's time for The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. I tell you, God is so good. I get to thinking about the thing that blesses me so. Is all the times that it looked like my calling in life was do exactly what he said not to do,
yeah.
Or not to do exactly what he said to do.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out how come I was so miserable.
Yeah.
Well, he just kept dealing with me, just kept dealing with me. The first day of my life, of my adult life, that I was ever in the perfect will of God, I was absolutely ecstatic.
Yeah.
I was 30 years old. Imagine that. And I was at the very place where I tried so hard not to be. It's amazing, man. But when I yielded to him and I got in, it got into the flow.
Yeah.
And the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness really began to mean something to me. And because it not only was there guidance in my life, but the power to do something with it.
That's right.
Now, let's go back over here, David, 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. We want to get back in where we left off yesterday.
Okay.
And I'm really impressed of the Lord to really bear down on this today, because people have the idea, all that old God stuff and all of that. No. That's bondage. No. Mm-hmm. Being sick and broke is bondage.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now, listen to God's purpose in this. Listen to what he's saying. It shall come to pass if you'll hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do his commandments, which I command this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. This has to do with spiritual blessing. It has to do with mental and intellectual blessing. Mm-hmm. It has to do with physical blessing. It has to do with family blessing.
That's right.
It had to do with money.
That's right.
And that was God's idea all the time.
Yeah.
It wasn't his idea to curse you.
Yeah.
It was his idea to bless you. Mm-hmm. That's the whole deal. In his mind. That's what he is after to begin with. So the first thing any human being ever heard with his ears, Adam, God's, and he blessed them. He created man, and he blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, replenish or restore the earth, mm-hmm. subdue it, have dominion over it. That's the way he started. He didn't start it out saying, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to make you sick. He could have just forgot them and just let them be uncreated if that's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
He set out to bless this thing. So he said then in the 30th chapter where we were yesterday, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life that both you and your seed shall live.
Mm-hmm.
So you set in motion life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness when you choose. Actually, the thing that had happened to me, I had to acknowledge the fact that God was right.
Yeah.
And it really came as a great revelation to me one day that he's smarter than I am. Think of that. But it really revolutionized my whole future.
But when you acknowledged, first time you feel like you fit where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
You submit and say, okay, you're right, I'm wrong, let's do it your way. And all of a sudden, you're fulfilled.
A whole lot of stuff in my life that just wasn't bugging me anymore like it had been.
That's right.
Because you just, you know, if a fellow feels like that he's just miserable because he's so hot.
Yeah.
He's just miserable. Well, maybe he ought to quit setting his britches on fire.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, I mean,
that's right.
just stop it, dummy. Yeah. And then that changed a whole lot of things. Let's go back into what we were talking about in the different kinds of laws that God set into motion.
Because they're all there to fulfill us. I mean, he knows what makes us tick, just like he did you.
From the greatest to the smallest to the...
And it's not to see us like a bunch of ants doing, you know, with the master up there telling us, this is for our good, our benefit. That's that Joshua 1:8 thing. If you'll do everything he said in this stuff, if you'll obey his laws, it's for your good, for your prosperity, for your success. He wants the best for us. And so all of those laws that he gave us, and we looked yesterday at the four kinds of law. You got the ceremonial law. Now, that is out. That's the Old Testament versus the New Testament, and that's where we can make a distinction and say, hey, we don't offer sacrifices anymore. Jesus, one-time sacrifice for all times. So that one's gone. But the second one is judicial law, and that's where we change the penalties, and that happens over time. I mean, we don't change what's right and wrong. We just 100 years ago hung horse thieves. We don't hang them today, but it's still wrong. To steal horses, you're going to be in jail for it. Penalty changes. Third is the moral law, and that's what never changes. When God says something is wrong way back in Genesis 1, it's still wrong all the way to Revelation 22. That does not change. So the moral law and the Ten Commandments is considered the essence of the moral law. Because when he said, don't steal, that stays all the way through. He says, and by the way, I have Christians come after me at times and say, hey, we live under the New Testament, not under the Old Testament. And I said, okay, and your point? And they said, well, we're not, you know, we don't live by Old Testament laws. We live, okay, then let me ask you this. Is arson wrong? Is infanticide wrong? Is bestiality, sex with animals, is that wrong? And they said, oh, yeah. I said, show me any verse in the New Testament that says it's wrong. They can't. You got to go to the Old Testament to prove that because God established the moral law. He gave us the rights and wrongs, and it's the same. Yeah. It's still as wrong in the New Testament was. God hadn't changed who he is. That's his character. That's rights and wrongs. The fourth kind of law is what's called social compact law. And we're saying that, okay, under these things that God has established, there's some things that we can decide on that don't make that much difference, but we're free to say. And a great example is Ruth and Boaz. Ruth wants to marry Boaz. He says, you know, under the laws, I've got to go to the elder kinsman. And elder kinsman said, no, I don't want to marry her. You can marry her. So under the laws, they went to the elder kinsman. And so Boaz says, you sure about that? Yeah, I'm sure about that. So he takes off his sandal and throws it out in the center of the elders at the gate. What's that all about? That's the way they notarize contracts. That was their social compact. Our social compact says that when we want to seal a deal, you take your sandal off and throw it out the middle group. Now, today we'd go down to the bank and get a notary public to, you know, that's our social compact. Our social compact is let's drive 55.
But we still recognize the need to do that.
We recognize the need.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But it's not a moral law. We're not saying we're deciding homosexuality is okay. No, we don't change that. That's a moral law. We can say we want the speed limit to be 45 instead of 55. That's a social compact law. We can say you can park here 2 hours but not three. That's a social compact law. We have laws to govern the way we handle one another, but they don't deal with the moral laws.
Now, where you can foul that up is getting over into moral disobedience and say that you can't park here because of the color of your skin.
That's right.
Or you can't park here because of this or that.
But see, that violates a moral law.
That violated a moral law, is higher than that parking law.
That's right. And that's why the founding fathers in the Declaration set forth inalienable rights. And after they said that God gives certain rights and government exists to protect those rights, they then said, and we rule this by the consent of the governed. That's social compact. Hey, we recognize God's laws up top, but under that, we can make our own decisions below these inalienable.
That's what we just said.
And that's the four types of law in the Bible. So every one of those exists for our fulfillment. You know, there's no question about it. Now, the problem we get today, and we've been talking this week about looking at platforms and candidates, and, you know, there's 200 issues in the platform, and a candidate is taught to talk about three issues and no more, so you have to read platforms. What happens is a candidate will run, and he'll talk about three issues. He's got 200 in his platform. He's going to talk about three. On his website, he's going to put up about a dozen, 15, 18 issues. He's going to talk about other things, but he's going to pick things that are favorable to him. Sure. It may not be his whole worldview. And so I've watched this happen in elections, and I'm watching something happen in the Christian community right now. It's the rise of what's called social justice. Mm-hmm. And social mm-hmm. justice says, hey, we think the priorities you have on rights and wrongs are bad priorities. And we want priorities. Why do you guys always insist on voting about abortion and homosexuality? You know, health care and the environment are also important, too. And so social justice says, let's change the priorities of how we do this. Now, I absolutely agree. The Bible deals with environment. It deals with health care. It deals with all sorts of stuff. But I also agree that God himself gave a priority of what's most important. And this is what a lot of Christians forget when they start looking at a candidate and they said, well, here's his position on drilling, and here's his position on energy, and whatever it is. And they forget the priority. So I think it's real helpful to go back and look at this, because when you look, even in a great verse like 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, God tells us the scripture's inspired, and he said he gave it so that we can be equipped for every good work.
Every good, yeah.
So when you go back to the Old Testament, when God delivered the code of laws to his people, said, here's how I want my nation to live, he gave them 613 laws. Those laws cover environment. They cover health care. Anybody that's never read the book, None of These Diseases, ought to read that book, because that's a mm-hmm. good look at what God says about health care and how it affects us today. God's got a great health code. You get into issues like dealing with the poor. I mean, God makes it really clear in the Bible. If you own a field, when you harvest that field, you round off the corners. You mm-hmm. don't harvest the grain in the corners. You leave mm-hmm. the poor, so then go in and harvest the corners.
Now, here's another example. He said, I command you to do this so that I might bless all the works
That's right.
of your hand. He's got blessing on his mind.
That's right.
And when we begin to mess that up and mess up those priorities, we interfere with that blessing flow.
Yep.
And then you start going hungry, you give the
That's
devil
right.
a shot at your children, and you...
And you see, what happens is people in their mind say, wait a minute, if I don't reap the corners of my wheat field, I'm going to lose 8% of my crop. I can't afford to lose. That's my margin of profit. I got to have that 8%. Hey, if you'll go ahead and give that 8% or whatever it is, God will cause your wheat to grow about five times higher than it was and produce more
and
stalks.
And he's proven it over and over. He's proven it in my life so many times.
That's right.
David, I can't even tell you.
If you'll do it, he'll make the smaller portion more productive than what you were going to have with the whole thing. If you'll give what he said to give and put it where he said to put it, you'll have a smaller amount, but he's going to make that seem like it was more. He'll make it more productive. I mean, you got less money. Yeah, but your car will start lasting longer. Your tires will run a lot longer.
Oh,
you
sure.
won't be going to the doctor near as much. He finds ways to save that money, and that's what's so
How
cool about that.
How much did you spend out there in the waiting room of the lawyer and the doctor?
Yeah. Yeah, and you wouldn't need to be there.
You don't need to
you
be
need
in
to be
there,
there.
But
right.
you wind up in there because you didn't follow what God laid out for you to follow. So then you wind up in that place of confusion and sickness
That's
and
right.
disease.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so even if giving away and following his law seems to us to say, oh, I'm going to have less if I can't tithe. I've only had 90%, and I'm already short on my bills right now. Hey, you better go ahead and tithe, because he'll make that 90%
Maybe
seem like it's 150%.
Maybe you need to figure out why you already short on
That's
your
right,
bills
exactly
right now.
That's right.
Sure.
You do it his way, it'll work 100% of the time. And that was the thing. You leave the corners of the field. You round. And by the way, if you've got a vineyard, once you pick those grapes, you don't go back over it a second time.
Leave them there.
Everything mm-hmm. that hits the ground, you let the poor have. Now, what I find interesting about that is God took care of the poor, but he made them work to do that. He said, now you're going to have to go out yeah. and harvest corners. You're going to have to pick
it
the grapes up off the ground.
It wasn't the government doing
And the government never gave them anything.
They weren't being taxed in order
That's
to pay
right.
for that guy
That's
to
right.
eat part of your crop.
The social programs
yeah,
were there.
I
God
see
took
it.
Care of the poor, but he didn't just give you. You had to do some things, and we still have to do that. You know,
and
the
David,
blessings.
The reason for that is because he don't want them staying poor.
That's it.
He wanted them to come on
That's
now.
Right.
Come on.
That's right. You know what the founding fathers said is as they traveled, we had so many founding fathers that were ambassadors. They said in Europe, They try to make the poor comfortable. And when you're comfortable, you want to stay where you are. When you make the poor uncomfortable, they don't want to be there. They want to get out of that. And so God helps make the poor uncomfortable so they don't stay in poverty. Now, we're always going to have the poor with us. But you get out there and work, you develop a little work ethic. You said, you know, I can go help this guy. I know how to pick the wheat now because I did the corners. I'll go help this guy harvest his whole field.
Now, and then, here he comes.
And now you're working your way on
here
up.
Here he comes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's the way God is. So you look at all God deals with immigration. God deals with systems of taxation. God's law, 613 laws, deal with specific types of taxes. It deals with military. It deals with banking and everything. But I love, over in Exodus 34, I love the way God did this. He's given His people 613 laws. And in Exodus 34, 27, God's now talking to the leader, Moses. And 34, 27, it says, "And the Lord said unto me, Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I've made a covenant with thee." 34, 27.
34.
Mm-hmm, 34,
okay.
27.
All right.
"And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I've made a covenant with thee and with Israel." Now, what we got here is God says, all right, I've given you 613 laws, but now I want you to write something down because this is the tenor of all of my laws. And the tenor is the essence, the core. This is this is the central focus. So the next verse, verse 28, he says, "And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tablets, upon the tables, the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments." Now, what's interesting, God says, I've got 613 laws, but I want you to have the central core focus of my laws, and that's these 10 right here. So if I can use a modern term, God just gave us His top 10 issues. He's got 613 issues out there. He says, but I want you to know these are my top 10. So God has just made a priority list of what's important to Him.
Now, He did, didn't He?
When we look at that 10, right up top, He says, I want the public acknowledging me. You, first off, I am the Lord your God. You publicly acknowledge that. Now, if I turn that into policy, you know, that means keeping in God we trust on our money. That means having voluntary prayer at football games or schools.
That means aware
being God conscious.
That He's our source.
We acknowledge God publicly. On a public policy position, I can say that the public acknowledgement of God is one of His top 10 issues. He wants that out there. So how can I as a Christian say, you know, separation in church and state, we can't be mentioning God in public. You can't say God at a graduation. No, no, no. One of His top 10. So if I'm going to look at candidates, I say, you know, one of the issues I need to see you support is the public acknowledgement of God. If you want God to be kept private and secret, you've just violated one of His top 10, and I can't support you. You go on down, and He says, I don't want you murdering. Now, murder is defined as the shedding of innocent blood. I don't want you shedding any innocent blood. When you take shedding of innocent blood, that's real easy, abortion. Every abortion in the world is shedding of innocent blood.
That little baby hadn't done
nothing.
You.
There's no... Now, you can talk about justified wars. There's some guilty blood there. When you go after someone who's gone after you, self-defense, Bible says if you kill someone who's come after you, you don't even have to go to the city of refuge. The avenger of blood won't come after you because that was self-defense. That's guilty blood. Matthew 9 all the way through Romans 13, or excuse me, Genesis 9 through Romans 13, God's given the sword to civil government to punish the wicked. So
He does not wear the sword in vain.
For nothing. He uses it. Yeah. And so executions of guilty blood, that's not shedding it. But you shed innocent blood, you're in trouble. So I can next say to a politician, wait a minute, abortion made God's top 10. I want to know where you are on shedding of innocent blood, babies. I can go to the next commandment. God says, hey, I don't want adultery. I told you how to do this with Adam and Eve back there, and that marriage, it stays that way. Hebrews 13:4, the marriage bed is sacred and undefiled. God wants it kept holy. I can say homosexuality, homosexual marriage is there. Because He said marriage is one man, one woman, and that's the sexual relation I want, nothing else. So I can say, oh, so Mr. Politician, where are you on homosexual? And that made God's top 10. If I start saying, where are you on health care? That didn't make God's top 10. Now, that's an issue for God. It's in the 613 laws. It didn't make the... Where are you on helping the poor? Well, that's in the laws, but that didn't make His top 10. And so for me to say, you know, I don't care what a politician says about abortion and marriage. I want to know where you are on the environment. I want to know where you are on global warming.
You just flip-flopped.
You just made yourself higher than God.
You
just usurped what He told you was His top 10.
I see that.
So when it comes time to vote, You take God's top 10 and say, you know, there's 200 issues in this platform, but I want to see where you are on the top 10. I want to see where you are on the public acknowledgement of God. I want to see where you are on abortion. I want to see where you are on marriage, including homosexual marriage. I want to see those issues. And that's got to rank higher. So the social justice move is a move to get inside the church and get Christians to start thinking non-biblical and putting issues higher than what God himself put them. And we can't do that. And if we do, we won't prosper. We won't get the blessings.
My goodness, David. Wow. We need to take this up right here tomorrow because there's some, and get into the practical side of it. How do you find out? How do you question these people? How do you know where they stand? How do you make these decisions? Well, is it this or is it this? I mean, we need to talk about this tomorrow. Brother David and I'll be back in just a moment.
The U.S. government is the fruit of a collection of 34 organic legal documents. The principles at the foundation of these documents are rooted in the Holy Bible. From the Magna Carta to the Declaration of Independence, biblical principles are a critical element that have molded our government, formed our society, and influenced our culture. The Declaration of Independence embodies the principle of dignity of human life with the words, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." That principle echoes through the Scriptures. Learn to do right, seek justice, relieve the oppressed, and correct the oppressor. Defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. The concept of certain unalienable rights is evidence that the founding fathers of the United States believed in God. They believed that God grants liberty to all men and that no earthly power can deny any person their right. Therefore, no government can deny them their God-given authority. The Declaration of Independence declared independence from Great Britain and dependence on God. The dignity of human life is illustrated in many ways in today's world, from the protection of the unborn to the defense of the oppressed in foreign lands. We lay our lives down to uphold constitutional freedoms. There is a struggle that the principle of the dignity of human life confronts. Challenged by influences of greed, ignorance, and rampant selfishness, now is the time for believers everywhere to remain vigilant, to stand for righteousness. We pray for the awakening of God's truth, love, and compassion. Prayer is the key to light the way to victory over oppression and freedom over tyranny wherever it exists. From the instant he spoke light into existence, God has had a hand in the course of human events. The Roots and Reform Package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries is a study of God's hand in America's earliest hours and spiritual insight into exactly how God can heal any nation. This package is packed with inspiration and instruction. In the teaching series, How Does God Heal the Land?, available on CD or DVD, Kenneth Copeland and David Barton examine the church's role in healing a nation and our responsibility to put godly people in leadership positions. The Roots and Reform package also includes Celebrate Liberty, a collection of timeless speeches and sermons on the blessings and responsibilities of liberty, Keys to Good Government, an exploration of wise counsel from God-fearing leaders, and Principles of National Reformation, a 60-minute audio message on prayer and national revival. Order the Roots and Reform package today for just $28. This package, available on CD or DVD, is a vital resource designed to help you develop an action plan based on God's Word to bring healing to our nations. For a product discount and 48-hour processing, order the Roots and Reform package online at kcm.org. To order by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395. For these and other products, go to kcm.org.
Now, you know, the limited time that we have on this broadcast, you can tell how really strong the need is for you to get information like this in these products that Brother David and his ministry have made available to us. I'm telling you, the principles of national reform. I mean, there is information in here that will feed your prayer life. It directs you in how to pray for these things. It opens your eyes and say, hey, I thought there was something going on there. Now I know there was. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's right.
And here's another thing. This works in any nation, not just the United States.
That's right.
This is God's work. The fact that the United States was originally set up on these laws is what caused it to be blessed. And so now it's in serious trouble because it got away from it.
That's right.
But it'll work anywhere. I'll tell you what, it'll work in your own household. Mm-hmm. Even when maybe the place where you live, they are so against you, they don't want your children praying and all of that. But if you learn these principles and laws, you can stand on God's word right there in your own household, and He'll bless you in spite of all of
them. That's right.
Because the governments don't impress God.
Right.
He's been here long before they were, praise God. So get these, and spend some time studying it. Praise God. Father, we pray for our partners all over this world. We hold them up to you for strength and the power of God to open the eyes of their understanding so that their lives are blessed in spite of all that the devil can do and all that he uses to tear us down, because you always cause us to triumph in all things. Praise God. Outstanding broadcast, David. Well, I want to get right back into this in the morning and deal with these absolutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And how do you find out these things and so forth and whatever else.
And also the impact they have on all the other issues.
Oh, yeah.
There is a connection between
them
and everything else. Yep.
That's really big.
Yep.
So, praise God. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, Kenneth Copeland and David Barton reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website at kcm.org. There you can purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or a copy of today's product. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of study tools designed to give you hope and help you find the answers you're looking for. You can also call our prayer line, 800-600-7395, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have faith in God and walk in the blessing today. Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org. Visit kcm.org and get an exciting look at listings, meeting schedules, product news, and much more. View KCM meetings live or watch Believer's Voice of Victory webcasts on demand. That's kcm.org.